Through the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we'll read from verse 19 through verse 25. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over to the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now look at the parentheses. This is just a break to explain what He's just said, or give you a basis for what He's just said, for He is faithful, that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Now, I don't know why anybody won't stay out of the house of God if they know the Lord. I mean, it's a precious thing tonight to be able to come together in the assembly. The institution that our Lord put here on earth that we could enter into and participate in, and to abandon it or forsake it, God forbid. What a precious thing to be able to come to the house of God. And let's go back. Any good Baptist preacher will have to preach on verse 25 for a little while. But the first thing He says in this section, after He said so much about the work that our Lord Jesus Christ has done and the heavenly tabernacle now. We've moved away from the earthly tabernacle. Only the shadows, only the figures are there. But we're now looking into heaven itself. And He said, brethren, let's have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Do you understand what that's really saying? On earth, that old earthly tabernacle, in the holiest of all, it always indicated the presence of God. Now, that was typical. We know that God did not live there. I believe that He met with His people in that sense there because it was a shadow and a type. But now, we're not talking about that holiest of all. We're talking about where God could really be met. You know, the Old Testament saints did not ever have the privilege that you have. They had to come through some mediator, some other means. They had to bring the blood of a bullock, the blood of the goat. They had to bring other things. But you and I can just come boldly to the throne of grace. We can go in through the veil now. Because the veil has been rent, by the way. It's open. It's accessible to us tonight. And the Bible said that we are to have boldness. Now, we're not talking about presumption. You know, a lot of these fellows today that are televangelists, they're presumptuous about what they're saying. They say you can presume upon God and get all of these things, and they're usually talking about some physical circumstance, like a new car or something. But can you imagine comparing something like that to the very privilege of just coming before God Himself? I mean, I've driven a lot of old trucks and old cars, I'll admit, I really love my truck. But it means nothing in comparison to being able to come into the presence of God. I mean, that's our privilege. As sinners saved by grace, we can have boldness. We don't have to wonder if we're invited. We are invited. We can come boldly into the holiest of all, where God is known to dwell. That means you can come into the presence of your Heavenly Father without hesitation, without any wondering, do I need to do something else? Because Jesus Christ has done it all. He said, by the blood of Jesus. That blood was a pure blood, a satisfactory blood. And that allows us the privilege, with boldness, to come into the holiest of all. And I would encourage you tonight to avail yourself of that. You know, some timid soul thinks maybe that they are not invited, but timid or bold, we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. because we have the way paid, and it goes into some depth here by a new and a living way. In other words, there was a route through the Old Testament tabernacle on an earthly scene, and that, in that sense, allowed the saints of God some access to the things of God. But this is a new and a living way. That old way was never satisfactory, but this is a living way. It's a way that's going to be around and be around and be around generation after generation until the Lord comes for His own. And of course, we understand then that faith will become sight. But until then, we have the new and the living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. Then He gives us the understanding of that is to say His flesh. Now, I won't go into the detail of comparing that Old Testament veil to Christ, but I can present to you this thought, and if you'll just study it a little bit, you'll just begin to rejoice in what it means whenever that veil hung in the place that it was. Do you realize that our Lord Jesus Christ, even Himself in all of His glory and all of His holiness, was a barrier until He was sacrificed? If the Old Testament curtain hung and it was a barrier, as long as Jesus Christ lived, what would it do? When you come into His presence, the fact of sin would condemn you because you're standing in the presence of absolute holiness and righteousness. But whenever He died, the veil was rent. In other words, when our Lord died on the cross, it means something. And when we come to the Lord's table, it means something when we remember the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because that is a declaration of the new and the living way that He's consecrated through the veil, that is to say His flesh. When He died on the cross, that Old Testament type was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, indicating it was a heavenly or a hand of God that opened the way into the presence of God. Then He said, let us draw near. How? With some trembling, with some fear and doubt. No, He said, with a true heart and full assurance of faith. You know, it's not presumptuous to claim salvation through Jesus Christ. It's a fact. I'm grateful tonight that the Lord, after He saved my soul, removed all doubt. That's never been a problem in my life. Now, I realize that some of the saints of God have had to struggle with this. And my heart goes out in marked sympathy. But I want you to know that we can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, believing, and knowing that we've been saved by the grace of God, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience or that which was contrary, that old nature, is certainly taken care of in this sense, and our body's washed with pure water. And you can look at it any way you want to, but I believe it probably is a pure conscience, clean conscience, by obedience and baptism, as well as cleansing of the Word of God in a constant fashion. And He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, there's folks that have wavered. And it always brings a question to my mind. Why would they waver? In light of what is said here, we're coming by the blood of Christ. We're coming through the new and the living way. Why waver from it? I've never understood, and I'll just be mean, I guess, tonight. But I've never understood how anybody could know the truth about Jesus Christ as it's taught in the Baptist Church and in independent Baptist churches, and become a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. Now, I just cannot understand that. I mean, they wavered. They've turned away from that which is secure to something that is very questionable at its very best, and its condemnation and its in the ultimate end and worst. But to hear it, we are invited to come and hold our profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because He's faithful that promised. It's not dependent on us. It's dependent on Christ. It's not my boast. It's His assurance tonight. He finished the work. I could not put my hand to it and do any good at all. If I were still trying to be saved by my own effort, I'd still be just as lost as I ever was. But He's faithful that promised. Sharon, you got a... Well, okay, yeah. Then He went on to say, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Do you realize that you're responsible for your neighbor, that fellow member in the house of God? I'm to provoke to love, not to hatred, to love. And I am hopefully to provoke to good works, not something that is contrary to that. And then he said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. And early in the history of the church, they began to stay away. He said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some is. As a manner of some is. In other words, it had already started. It was prevalent in that church. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. And if there was ever a time that you ought to be able to encourage somebody to come to the house of God, it's now. You see, that's the day that's approaching is the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you need the house of God. I need the house of God. I need you to just provoke me to love and to good works. I need you to encourage me to want to come to the house of God. Now, I've been in churches where there was difficulties, and sometimes it seemed to be a greater burden to go than it would have been to stay at home. But that ought not be the case. You are responsible. I'm responsible to encourage others to enjoy themselves in the house of God. You are your brother's keeper tonight, whether you like it or whether you don't. The Word of God teaches you. And if I'm downhearted, you need to encourage me. If you're downhearted, I need to encourage you. Because the house of God is so important. It's a place where you'll be strengthened. I realize that the midweek prayer service is, some will say it's an add-on, but really when you look at it, most of the time those early New Testament saints, they met almost every night. They didn't just meet once a night. But I'm thankful for a time in the middle of the week that's a designated service where I can come aside for a few moments and focus my attention upon Jesus Christ, settle my heart in His grace, and just rest in the Lord. It's a good place to be tonight. Always a good place to be in the house of God.